I'm Wade Keller, editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter and former host here at PW Torch Livecast. If you're looking for my shows, they have moved as of July 2017. They're now called the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, available through Podcast One. Enter Wade Keller on your podcast app or iTunes and subscribe to the new Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, where I cover Raw on my first show of the week, SmackDown with my second show of the week, and then the Flagship Edition with a co-host, and we cover a broad array of pro wrestling current events. And then I end the week with a weekly interview. That's the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, now at Podcast One. Subscribe today. Just search Wade Keller.
Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight, Kevin Owens receives a hero's welcome in Montreal. Atsushi Onita runs wild in Combat Zone. The G1 comes down to the bitter end in Block A. WWE heads to Canada. Two nights in Toronto. A last man standing match between Braun Strowman and Roman Reigns. Naomi battles Carmella. And we have a new GFW Grand Champion. We'll talk with Ethan Carter III. Wrestling Night in America begins now.
Okay.
And hello, you people. It is August 6th, 2017. This is PW Torch Livecast, and this is Wrestling Night in America. I am Pro Wrestling Torch columnist Pat McNeil, joined by another Pro Wrestling Torch columnist and a fantastic one, our good buddy Greg Parks. Hold on a moment. Where's Greg? There he is. Hold on, I push the button. Okay. Ah, Greg, are you there?
I'm here, Pat.
Fantastic. We're ready to go here talking about pro wrestling for the next hour and change. Our number is 515-605-9345. Hold on just a moment. You're not going to believe it. Greg, talk for a minute. I think somebody's trying to reach me on the hotline. Hold on a moment.
Hello, okay. Pat McNeil. Yeah, well, as Pat mentioned in the outset, big news coming over this weekend WWE announced that Braun Strowman and Roman Reigns would face off in the last man standing match this Monday night on Raw in preparation for the big Fatal 4-Way match at SummerSlam. So for those of you who are in the camp that these wrestlers should not be facing off against each other, heading into SummerSlam, you are likely disappointed, but it's a big hook for viewers for Monday night to stick around and see what goes down in that last man standing match on Monday night.
Okay, yes, that's going to be something. Does it seem like this feud's going to end anytime soon?
Well, certainly not through SummerSlam.
I'm not sure that does.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think even when they do go their separate ways, Pat, I think it'll always it'll be kind of like the Kevin Owens Sami Zayn thing, topical because of what happened this weekend in Montreal. But you know, even when they do go their separate ways, there's always going to be there's always going to be hints of future clashes.
Yes, we have a guest ready to call on the line. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome our guest. He is the brand new GFW Grand Champion. Let's hear it for Ethan Carter III. Hold on, let's play him in. See, I should have let that guy. Yes, the man is Trouble. Thank you for being on the show with us, champ. I haven't talked to you since we did a show with you a few years ago before you even went to TNA, when it was TNA. It's great to have you back on now that you're, yeah.
Yeah, it's been a coon's age, I'd say, but I guess I'm back and I'm back in action, and a lot's happened since then, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. However, we were asked to talk about, we were asked by your people not only to talk about you winning the title on Thursday on GFW Impact, but also to talk about a big show that's coming up a week from Thursday, Global Force's first Destination X show. And I'm looking at the lineup for this show, and I see, you know, I see Alberto, and I see Lashley, and I see Trevor. I don't see. Have they told you what you're doing on this show?
No, they don't tell me what I'm doing on the show until the day I arrive. But I arrive that day, and I kill it better than anybody in that company does, anybody in this business does. So they don't need to tell you. They don't need to tell me what I'm doing, because I know no matter what it be, I will do it the best.
Okay. I just want to make sure that they're taking care of you.
You know what I mean? They're taking care of me, I guess. Whatever. I mean, I should have something. If they're advertising a show, of course they ask me to do the media for the show, because I'm the only one that's sensible enough to be able to cultivate thoughts and make sure that people tune in. But I guess that in the long run, Bobby Lashley or Patron or any of the X Division guys can't do a media call to promote their own show, so they got to call in the guy, gosh darn old faithful, the one man, the best guy here, the best guy there, the best guy anywhere, to do it. And I'll do it, and I don't care. It's fine. Whatever. I'm going to be the best. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what takes place on Destination X. I just know at the end, I will be the most memorable segment, or the best match, or the finest promo, or the funniest gif. I'll steal the show. I always do.
Okay. Fair enough. Now, this weekend you were
up in New York City.
No, yeah. You were up in New York City, and you were headlining, of course, on the GFW live events, and you had the team both nights with Bobby Lashley on there, if I remember correctly. How was that like, being, you know, given the history that you guys have?
Yeah, I mean, if Bobby Lashley's one thing, he's probably the most dominant athlete in our industry. I'm not afraid to admit that he is an absolute machine. A brutal killer, a destroyer per se. I'm glad he's on my side. I mean, we've battled in the past. I've beaten him. He's beaten me. He kind of handed me my most humiliating defeat of my career, but it kind of made me realize what I actually need to do. So it's okay. I wouldn't say we're friends. I wouldn't say we're colleagues. I wouldn't even say we're acquaintances. But at the end of the day, when we're in a tag team match together, yeah, we'll get along and we'll make sure it happens.
Mm-hmm. Now I want to make sure that I plug this.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah.
Let's jump ahead.
No, you know, he's a killer. No, I just want to make sure I get this in. Now, you're going to be on Impact this Thursday, you know, and you're going to talk about and they're going to interview you because you're the new champion, and you know, obviously get to celebrate and say a lot. So that should be a reason to tune in, right?
Well, I did it this last episode. I actually have no idea what's going to happen this week coming up. I mean, last episode, I had a sweet promo, one take pony, because I'm the freaking man at promos, and I did one really good promo before the match. Then I whooped up on Moose, beat him up pretty good, won his title in a fair decision, became the grand champion, for whatever that may mean. And then later in the night, I cut another promo that was very memorable. So, I mean, coming up this week, we have the Destination X preview show. What takes place on that, I do not know or do not recall, because it was filmed so far in advance. But I do know if I do something on the show, it's probably pretty good. And then next week after that, the 17th, August 17th, we are live Destination X Global Force Presents, and then it'll be good. I'm excited.
Okay, Greg, do you have something? What do you have for our grand champion here?
Yeah, EC3, I want to ask you, because when the decision went to the judges this past Thursday in your grand championship match against Moose, you seemed a little down because Bruce Pritchard, someone that you haven't always seen eye to eye with, cast a deciding vote, and yet he cast it in your favor. So how much of a surprise was that for you that Bruce ended up seeing the match, a very close match, and giving you the decision there?
Well, I mean, from Bruce's perspective, from the entire management change from top to bottom to the name change, the whole thing has been just a giant, almost conspiracy theory against me via my last name, which has nothing to do with what my accolades are in wrestling, what I've actually accomplished in this industry, in this company. So forgive me for a second for feeling apprehensive about Bruce Pritchard probably pulling a great screw job on me. I mean, Bruce Pritchard, he's not even a doctor. He's Bruce Pritchard. The fix has been in, the fix I thought was in, but actually, finally, for once in his life, he realized what he has on his hands. He has a franchise. He has a building block. He has a foundation to build upon. The Rock to build his church of pro wrestling. Like, that is me. He finally realized that when the time was right. He made the right call, 10-8, whatever that may mean. I don't know how to score MMA or Grand Championship matches, but I do know I whooped the hell out of Moose, and I became the Grand Champion justifiably and reasonably.
All right. Now, have they told you when Moose is going to get his rematch for this?
I mean, Moose can have his rematch anytime. Moose, I own Moose. Moose is my – he's not even Moose to me. He's the Moose. He's the Moose. I'm in his head. I'm in his brain. I'm in his skull. I'm in his cranium. I'm in his mind. I live inside his brain cells, and I have dug in deep. He cannot defeat me. He has all the cool moves he thinks that are sweet because they're gifts. He's got all the smart fan kind of apprehensive behavior. He loves the action, but he doesn't know the business. I am the business. It's like, to me, I'm a businessman, and I'm a business man. You know what I mean? Like, so yeah, Moose can have his rematch anytime, anyplace, anywhere in a 3-round format where it comes to mind, discovery, thinking ahead, plus physicality and action. I have that man beat 10 times out of 10. So, yes.
So
whatever.
he's like Moose. So
I don't
like
know when the rematch is.
That on television. Okay.
He's almost like, hey, who's the redhead from Salute Your Shorts? Something to be, remember? Past your time,
yeah.
That's fine. Yeah.
That's okay.
But something to be.
All right.
Anyways,
okay.
He's
are you up? Are you?
And I'm
are you up for hearing from? Are you up for hearing from your public? We have a couple callers who have been waiting to speak to you.
People actually called to talk to me. I didn't even know I was doing this interview. Of course, I'd love to hear from them.
Well, they heard their social media. All right, let's go to the 615 area code. Kenny from Tennessee, you're on Wrestling Night in America with EC3.
Hey, guys. It's great to be here and getting to talk to you guys, and great to talk to the new grand champion, EC3. How are you doing tonight?
I am – was that a horn when you – like, when the call happened,
yes,
did a horn take place? Like, it was that was like Lord of the Rings, almost, in a sense.
That's to alert the person on the other end of the line that they're on the air and they need to start talking.
That they're on. Ah. What's up, Kenny? I'm good, man. You know, I'm hanging and banging, rocking and rolling, strolling and strolling. What's up with you?
Oh, nothing much. It's great to be able to be on this show. It's the first time I've got to call in, and by the way, I want to give people an opportunity that you want to see EC3 and Impact Wrestling. There is a way of doing it. In fact, I just subscribed to it called Hulu with Live TV, which does pick up Pop TV as part of the package. So if you want to have a chance, it's about $40 a month. I'm getting a free trial.
Well, how about
this being my first week? So yeah.
How about that, Kenny? Kenny can tell people how to watch my television show. I can't. Thank you, Kenny, for that information, because that is awesome. And like, when people say, hey, how do I catch Pop TV? If I don't have the normal resources, now I know via Hulu. Extra Kenny special.
PlayStation
Thank
View.
You.
Yeah. I have PlayStation View. That's how I can watch Pop TV. Yep.
It's available on both of those services. And anyway, I do have a question in regards to, it doesn't involve the GFW, but it's really more or less something that I've noticed more and more with promotions that tend to run in around the minor league ballpark scenarios. Obviously, GFW is a part of it as well. And I guess really my question to you guys is, I know you had a situation, I don't know if you want to talk about what happened with Bridgeport, Connecticut. You were supposed to run a show today.
There was a show that was canceled. Yeah, that's the situation. Yeah,
and I guess my question to you guys is, Do you think it is better for pro wrestling promotions to really not try to run many of these type of shows in these minor league ballparks or football stadiums unless they have, like, a really hot angle? I mean, like, what I mean is, like, you build up a feud and then you have a blow-off in a big environment instead of just, like, promoting like you would a normal card, like, promoted in a big, like, stadium-type field.
Kenny?
Yeah.
I love you, Kenny. Okay. The question is...
I can answer that.
Go on.
It's very easy to answer because, like, it's funny. One thing I noticed about wrestling fans is nobody hates wrestling more than wrestling fans. So I think Kenny's referring to the fact that the internet decided to tarnish whatever attendance we may have had in the Yankee minor league stadium that sees 20,000 people. I mean, we had a pretty decent house. We made money on that show. It was in the black. I think it was 1,200 to 1,400. Forgive me for my numbers being askew, but because of the fact it's so spaced out, and no matter how many people we have at a wrestling show in a good house, it's not going to look like a good house. So everyone that can jump on it and try to get hits and views and laugh and scheme on it, that's fine. But your criticism is unwarranted because at the end of the day, there was a profit, which is the motive of this business. So, yeah, the Bridgeport, Connecticut show, I think there was something that happened with it that I'm not quite sure, and I don't believe it was because of a attendance figure. I believe it was something else, in fact. So, I mean, people can hate on the internet all they want. We had two live events. We had to get our feet wet. We had to see what was happening. We know our strengths. We need to know our weaknesses. We tested it. Both shows wound up in the black. So both shows are a success. Both shows saw great action for the fans that did show up, and there were more than probably the internet viewed, because I'm sure there's one person that took a picture of up to empty chairs when they arrived early to the show and thought it was funny on the internet, and good for them. They're a loser. Who gives a shit? For the end of the day, they did well. We had a good run.
Don't
shows are good.
Now.
We'll move on. Yeah, boy, you can if you want.
Okay.
I don't care.
Yeah, well, I
whatever,
I
man.
The editor. There's an editor who'll do that. All right, let's go to Kylan in Newark, New Jersey. And just to get this out of the way now, I want everybody to
What's
know
your next
that,
question,
Kylan? Kylan?
Okay, question number two.
Yeah.
Are you drunk?
Kylan,
I can't
Kylan's
hear
not
a word
just
then.
Yeah, Kylan's not drunk. I'm just letting everybody know that. Cesarebal Pazalzi gimmick. Kylan! Well, from Newark, New Jersey, you're on the live cast with EC3. Hello.
Yes, nice to be here, Pat. My question for you, Ethan.
Hit me, dog.
Was there ever any consideration to you dropping your last name to disassociate yourself from the former owner of the previous company, which is now Global Force Wrestling?
Wow.
Okay.
That's a poignant question, Kenny. That's a very strong question, and that is a typical bottom-of-the-shelf what I expect from a phone call from a wrestling fan question. If anyone could decipher that for me, I'd love to hear it. What I think he meant was something about my last name, and therefore it's not TNA, and now it's Impact, and then it's GFW. And my last name's Carter, and Dixie Carter isn't exactly the owner of the company anymore. I don't think any of that matters, because I think the name I have, the name I was given upon my birthright, my name, the third, I took and I ran with in this industry. So regardless of if the initials are TNA, if the initials are Impact Wrestling, if the initials are GFW, or any initials this name shows up in the future, they are mine and mine alone.
Right. I think what he was trying to hint at was, did anybody in corporate try to put pressure on you to, you know, to play down the Ethan Carter name and maybe just be Ethan, I don't know, the king of the world or something?
No, that sucks. That's a terrible idea.
Yeah.
That's like when fans tweet me, hey, I got this great idea for a storyline or an angle, and it's the worst crap I've ever heard in my life. No, why would they do that? That's my name. I was born with it. Insane. Insane to think that. Sir, Kenny, you were drunk, mister. You're a drunk Kenny.
That was Kylan.
Stop talking. Whatever his name is.
Never mind. Right. Okay. All right. Well, listen, I know that you had a limited time with us, and you spent, you actually spent more time than
you
were allotted.
I can keep going.
You
got another phone call? Let's do one more phone call.
All right. Do we have another? Okay, go ahead. Callers, if you have anything else, come back on the line. Greg, do you have a question for Mr. EC3?
Yeah. You know, we talked a little bit about the house shows, doing the stadium shows and things like that. EC3, talk about the importance of the house shows, GFW, as you said, kind of dipping the toe back in the water of doing house shows again, as far as getting the GFW brand out there, as far as fan interaction, which TNA/GFW has always done really well at these types of house shows. Talk about the importance of that from a brand perspective, not only for GFW, but to build the Ethan Carter III brand.
Yeah, I build my brand every second of every day, so any conversation I have with a fan, any interaction I have with a fan, and there were plenty other fan interaction events, is definitely a benefit to go further. And yeah, it's a great question. I think we had to get a few. We had to get out there. We had to see what's up. I think we'll be back out there very soon in the future for other markets. We just need to find the right niche and the right way to do it. And our shows were successful, but they can always be better. We can have more. We can do better. And I think we will. It was a learning experience for sure.
Okay. Tell you what, Kenny, if you're ready, we'll give you another chance to talk to EC3 if you have another question.
Oh, God. Kenny again?
hey, guys.
Okay.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we hear you just fine, Kenny.
Hey, first of all, I want to apologize for that. I did not actually meant that to you. If it came across that way, I do apologize. It was basically just the fact that it was more about just the whole concept of it, whether or not you guys should be, you know, running more, I guess, shows similar to what you did on Friday, which I actually have seen footage of the show on Friday as far as, like, you know, on Twitter and so forth. And that crowd was pretty happy, really excited, and more so, it was more easier to attend. And I'm glad that you guys made a profit.
Okay,
don't get me wrong on that.
Okay,
right.
No, that's good. So your actual question is, your actual question is what? Should they do more arena shows?
Yeah, more or less. I mean, obviously, I know that we're talking about you guys wanting to do more arena shows down the road. What are the chances that Impact Wrestling will be able to do more house shows? Maybe not so much this year, but let's say 2018, and will it be in basically big markets like you just did with New York?
I think our plan going forward is to attempt it monthly into markets that we will play well in. Maybe I misunderstood your question, and it revolved around the baseball stadium aspect of it, but I think it's a good question in a sense, like, why is a wrestling show at a baseball stadium? But at the end of the day, if you can fit more people in a baseball stadium that seats 20,000, that he could fit into an arena that seats 750, you take that option, even though at the end of the day it looks subpar to what you would think. And I think there's other places that ran baseball stadiums like that, and there's also interesting deals that go on between baseball stadiums and wrestling promotions, and they need dates filled up, so you get a good deal. And it's all about making money, and they made money, so that's a positive. But I think monthly, we're going to attempt to get out there and test each market, see where we're at, and then hopefully go forward and build upon that.
All right. That sounds real
awesome.
And like I said, that I encourage anybody, like you said, either PlayStation View or Hulu with Live TV, best way to get a chance to see Impact on Pop TV, and I'll be watching you on Thursday night. And you guys have a good rest of the night, and hopefully the next time I call, it won't be anything just like that previous call on me.
You're all good,
Kenny,
well,
thank
man.
You for calling,
Don't
Kenny.
You sweat. Don't sweat,
You're brave,
baby.
Man. All right. Kenny drops off. That episode of Live for You, 515-605-9345. Was it EC3? Was it comforting for you to see that James Storm was back in the ring against you this weekend in the six-man tags, knowing all the damage you did to him a couple months ago?
It was terrible. I never want to see him in a wrestling ring. I never want to see him in a wrestling ring again, especially when he's against me. I've ended that. I've destroyed that. That's done. That is in my past. No, I'm not happy to see him back. I mean, I'm glad. Good for him that he can come back from such a horrific, whatever his injury may be, perhaps involved his brain. I mean, I beat a lot of guys' brains in when I wrestle them. Like, I'm a dominant force. I'm a sociopathic with sweetness out there in that ring. I beat him. I beat him well. Am I happy to see him back? Absolutely not, because I dislike him very much. But the fact he's back means he has some heart and some guts, and I guess I can appreciate that.
Okay. All right. Any other appearances outside of GFW in the next several weeks you want to talk about?
Nah, man, I just hang out at my house unless I'm wrestling. I'm kidding.
Okay.
What's going on? All right, we got GFW. We got Destination X. Check that out. We got that August 17th, 2017. Then we got about 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 weeks coming from Orlando all the way to Bound for Glory, which I believe will be November 4th. I probably shouldn't have said that, but I did anyways. And then from there, we keep this gravy chain rolling. What? Yeah.
No, I heard
we're
it was the
going,
first Sunday in November.
Yeah, all right, good. Then we're going to be on the road. I think we're going to be up in the Midwest, I would say, October-ish. So if you're in the Illinois and Indiana area, be ready for that. That'll be cool. Going on from there, I mean, I don't know. I'm the best guy here. I'm the best guy there. I'm the best guy anywhere. I don't care. I get paid and very well to be who I am, and that's pretty cool for me, so I enjoy it.
Yeah. All right, and from a branding purpose, how can the many, many listeners here keep track of you via social media?
The Instagram, you can find me on the Twitter, and you can find me on the Facebook, all at The Real EC3. The
okay,
Real
that's great.
EC3. The number three. The number three.
Yes, number three. Okay. Thank you for appearing on Wrestling Night in America and brightening the lives of our listeners. And we look forward to seeing you on future episodes of GFW Impact and on GFW's Destination X.
All right, man. Toodaloo.
All right, toodles. All right, EC3, ladies and gentlemen. Greg, EC3 was on the show earlier than expected.
Well, that's how we roll, man. You got to be ready to roll with the punches, and if a guest wants to show up a little early, hey, they're more than welcome. We'll adjust our schedule for them.
I don't know. Maybe he's getting ready for Game of Thrones. Who knows? Anyway, tell you what, we are overdue for a break. We will come back. We have a lot to talk about, plenty going on, as Greg talked about on Raw, on SmackDown, in New Japan, and other craziness from around the world. So don't touch that dial. This is Wrestling Night in America.
Support what we do here at the PW Torch Livecast when you shop Amazon. Simply go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. We've simplified the page. There's a big Amazon logo. You click on it. It takes you right to Amazon's homepage. But because of that small detour, we get credit for your visit, and we get a commission on anything you buy on that shopping trip. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. Thank you very much for your support.
Wrestling Night in America returns here on PW Torch Livecast. I'm Pat McNeil. He is Greg Parks. The number is 515-605-9345. Operators are standing by. We're ready to talk to you about what's going on in the professional wrestling business. The chat room is open here at pwtorchlivecast.com, so be sure to check that out. And let's see, I think we're open for questions on Twitter. I will check the email, see how that's going. And, Greg, maybe we should roll over last night's GFW results from Staten Island.
Sure thing.
Yep. All right. It was, local Falabaugh beat KM. Pat Buck, Anthony Bowens, Dan Moff beat the Heavenly Bodies in six-man tag. Trevor Lee over Mario Baccara. Taya Valkyrie defeats Sienna and Allie in a three-way non-title match. Eli Drake beat Braxton Sutter. Santana and Ortiz defend the Global Force tag titles against Sanjay Dutt and Drago. That's an interesting pairing, I would say. And main event, it was Moose, John Hennigan, and James Storm over Lashley, EC3, and Low Key. That's that's something. I mean, that's the sort of match you'd like to see on a TV show. I've got to also point out that let's see, there is a 6-man tag scheduled for Impact this week, I think, unless I'm missing something. Alberto, Sanjay Dutt, and Matt Sydal against Bobby Lashley, Low Key, and Trevor Lee. That sounds right, doesn't
okay.
it?
Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
And also,
you know, building the matches for Destination X, certainly.
And also, LAX will be in a street fight against the Veterans of War. So for the tag titles, so that'll be fun. But you know, it is nice that that company is finally getting some stability. I think would be a good way to describe it.
Yeah, and this past week's episode set a lot of things up just in that main event. You had the Veterans of War come out to help Alberto El Patron after the match, the main event there, and it looks like they'll be positioned with LAX on the card. You had Low Key coming in and joining LAX. We'll see if he gets rid of his suit and tie outfit that he's been wearing in his matches, which just still boggles my mind to see him wrestle in that outfit every week. And of course, Alberto and Lashley, and of course Alberto and LAX still have their issues too. I don't think anything was really resolved there at the end of the main event this past week. So a lot to build on from that main event segment this past week on GFW Impact.
Yes, I would say so. Let's see what we have here. Did I put that in? No, I guess I did. Okay, yeah, we have an email question. This is from Pop Culture Junkie, who writes in, a longtime VIP member from Houston, Texas. He has questions. Over the next few weeks, are we going to just see Roman, Braun, and Joe trading wins until we get to SummerSlam? Wouldn't it be beneficial to finally have Brock have some type of match in Raw before the pay-per-view? I don't think financially WWE sees that as an option, because they're paying one fee, if I remember correctly, for each match that Brock does, and another fee per appearance. So I think with them trying to cut costs, we're not going to see Brock wrestle on Raw. Does that sound right?
No, and this was talked about. Bruce Mitchell, Wade Keller, and I talked about this on Monday night when we recorded the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, which dropped on Tuesday on Podcast One. In talking about the aftermath of Raw, you know, we kind of talked about what kind of incarnations of that four-way match at SummerSlam we're going to see in the lead-up. Do they go with just having some variation of the same three guys, excepting Lesnar from Wrestling on Raw, obviously, have some variation of those same three guys wrestling each other every week leading up to SummerSlam? Or do they do something different? And, you know, I'd like to see WWE take the guys like Strowman, Reigns, and Joe, and really give them some quality wins over mid-carders. I think Elias Sampson was a guy I threw out there as a guy that you could put against Roman Reigns. He's not going to lose anything by losing to Roman Reigns, and he's already in a position where he looked pretty good against Finn Balor, but Reigns gets a decisive victory. He builds momentum, which is what we hear every week on WWE programming. I'd like to see guys like Reigns, Strowman, Joe individually in one-on-one matches against other guys get to build that momentum. So when it does come SummerSlam time, all of a sudden we've got three guys who are really in the driver's seat, and it's like the announcers have to say, hey, these guys are all evenly matched. It may not be 25% each chance of winning like WWE's math likes, but I think it's more beneficial when you get to that point at SummerSlam than having Reigns and Strowman. We've seen them together so much. We're going to see them again here. I think it takes a little bit away from the specialness, but all of a sudden, no matter what the outcome is, and you know you're not going to get a real fair outcome, a real clean outcome in a last man standing match with these two guys on Monday night, but you're going to have someone not come out looking great. And the alternative is have all three guys come out looking great every week leading up to SummerSlam. And I think, you know, if I was WWE, that's kind of how I'd want things heading into SummerSlam.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't think they're going to do that to Elias Sampson, because I think that they believe that, you know, having Elias remain undefeated on Raw is important for some reason.
I'm just using him as an example of a mid-card guy who you could throw against Reigns, Joe, or Strowman, have Reigns, Jorah Strowman win, have the mid-card guy not really lose anything because these guys are so much higher on the totem pole than them. But you give Reigns and you give Joe and you give Strowman the win, and you give them momentum heading into SummerSlam.
Well, you know, what I might actually do, and I know they're not going to do this week, but maybe next week is, you know, have all three of them have matches, put them in, you know, put them in against undercard guys, guys or, you know, indie guys or whatever, and just have them hit all of their moves and look awesome.
Yep.
You know, I mean.
Yeah, that's another option.
Yeah, you don't,
yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, as long as you don't kill the crew, as long as you don't kill off the 205 Live guys to do that, because, you know, geez, hey, it's Braun Strowman versus Lince Dorado. You know, that wouldn't go very well.
I really can't believe they've held off this long without throwing the cruiserweights at a guy like Strowman or a guy like Reigns or Joe even to put those guys over, but knock on wood.
All right, second important question. Does the poor crowd response Enzo received on Raw show that his time is running out as someone to take serious? About the rest of it is just a paragraph long rant. But I mean, one of the rumors that has come out is that you know, they're considering sending Enzo back to NXT.
Yeah, I think we talked about that last week, Pat, about guys who are on the main roster right now who could be sent back to NXT to freshen things up, maybe to try a different character. Maybe things are not going well for them on the main roster, and Enzo's a guy that he's got a lot of options. You've got 205 Live out there. You've got keeping him in the singles division and hoping that he can sort of rebuild some momentum that he lost with the squash losses to Cass. Maybe being in Big Show's corner, maybe getting some rub from him will help. Possibly taking a managerial role, but also going back to NXT. I think if you go back to NXT with a guy like Enzo, you've got to do some tweaks to the character, though. I don't think you can send him back to NXT as Enzo Amore and have him still do his shtick. I think that would sort of defeat the purpose of being sent down there. Like, if you're being sent from the main roster back to NXT, I would think that the purpose is to find a way to get back to the main roster at some point. And by doing the same old thing there, that's not really cutting it. Unless they're doing this to try to prop up NXT with some bigger names, I don't know.
Well, I think the theory is you want somebody who's going to mean more in NXT than they are, say, on Raw. And, I mean, yeah, it would be a good opportunity for Enzo to reinvent himself. I mean, he's one of the few names I can think of that actually he could go back down to NXT and they'd welcome him back and it won't kill him. I mean, you know, I can't see it helping, say, Tyler Breeze if he goes back.
No. There's a very select few that I think would be eligible and would really make sense to go down there.
Okay, and his third question, if Brock retains the title, who will be the next opponent? Since Big Cass was in the main event for Raw, maybe they're setting him up to be the next contender. I'm going to go with A, God forbid, and B, I think that I don't think if Lesnar wins at SummerSlam, and even if he loses, I don't think we see him again until maybe Survivor Series. So there's really no rush building up to anybody.
Yeah, Survivor Series at the earliest, and that would even be a little early for Big Cass's ascension to get Brock Lesnar there. I think Cass is such a work in progress. He's a real project. I get what they see in him. I don't necessarily see the same thing, but I'm thinking if you really want to make him seem a legit contender for a guy like Brock Lesnar, I think 2018 at the earliest for Cass. You know, Survivor Series rolls around. The Superstar Shakeup. If they do a Superstar Shakeup after SummerSlam, the rosters could look drastically different come Survivor Series. So Lesnar's opponent may not be on Raw. We could be talking about a guy who is on SmackDown that ends up facing Lesnar at Survivor Series or perhaps Royal Rumble next year.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know if we're going to get a full Superstar Shakeup, Greg. It might be like last year where they just bring up a couple people from NXT that they think are ready and, you know, use and cut loose people who are going to be cut loose anyway. But that's something we can discuss in a moment because we're going to try to get caught up on our commercial breaks. When we come back, we'll probably talk a little bit more about this whole people going down to NXT and coming up from NXT situation. This is Wrestling Night in America.
We know you're a pro wrestling fan, but you might like MMA too. And if so, check out our sister site, MMATorch.com, with live fight event coverage, including UFC pay-per-views, previews of all UFC and Bellator events, the daily news digest, exclusive columns, flashbacks, and much more. Check it out. If you're a fan of MMA, you'll be a fan of MMATorch.com.
Hey, we're back with more of Wrestling Night in America here on PWTorchLivecast.com, but I consider it my duty and my privilege to tell you all about the great deal you can get on a VIP membership. Join PWTorch.com, become a VIP member. Go to PWTorch.com/goVIP. $10 a month, $99 a year. You get a lot. You get more wrestling podcasts than anywhere else, that any other subscription site that I know of, including ad-free versions of shows like this one and ad-free versions of the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, including a nice RSS feed where you can get all of that lumped in together. And, you know, and of course, special VIP shows like the Wayback Playback that Jim Valley and I do, like the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, like The Fix with Todd Martin. All of that is part of your PW Torch VIP membership. And there's something else that you get as a VIP member.
Your ideas are intriguing to me, and I wish to subscribe to your newsletter.
That's right. You get the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, 30 years strong, and all the back issues that come with it. Join today, pwtorch.com/goVIP, and Wrestling Night in America returns here on PW Torch Livecast. The number is 515-605-9345. I'll tell you what, we have a caller from New York City, Greg, so let's give this a chance. Hold on, let me get the appropriate music. Caller, get ready for Wrestling Night in America. Hello.
Hey, 516 area code Nassau County. How you guys doing today?
Fine. What's your name, Nassau County?
Jesse. I'm a big fan of your show. I used to call in all the time.
Oh, cool. What can we do for you, Jesse?
We used to talk about Hogan and stuff. So I had this argument the other day. Is it the fact that WCW is not there no more that it kind of takes the fun away from it nowadays?
I think to a degree, yes, because back when you had the Monday Night Wars and Raw was on, if Raw was having a bad segment or a commercial, you could always skip over to Nitro and vice versa.
Right.
And I think that made both sides try harder. To be entertaining, to make sure that there wasn't a lot of filler. It also led to them speeding up some storylines, perhaps that shouldn't have been sped up. Greg, what do you think?
Yeah, I think there's merit in that. I think not necessarily even WCW, but if WWE had a strong competitor, and with the way they're built now, it's very difficult for anyone to scare WWE to the point that WCW did back in the 90s. I think if you look back at that time period, the fans were the real winners of that competition, because both companies were so desperate to get the eyeballs that were out there on their product, rather than nowadays when WWE is kind of like, well, take it or leave it, because there's really no other wrestling competition, although WWE preaches that anything on television, anything in the sports or entertainment genre is their competition, and that's partially true, but no wrestling competition, I think, is not great for the fan.
Right, like Mick Foley said that, I remember it really got heated at one point. I don't know if you guys are as old as I am. I'm 33.
I'm old.
But I remember when Mick Foley said, don't change the channel because then you're going to... No, I'm sorry. Not Mick Foley. Bobby Heenan
Tony
said...
Tony Schiavone.
Tony Schiavone. He said, don't change the channel because if you do, Mick Foley's going to win the heavyweight. I mean, he's going to win the title. And him being so stupid by saying that, because it made more people turn over. It was classic.
That happened in roundabout way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did. But, that was a mistake. But, Eric Bischoff, when he took over Nitro, started pushing this competition by,
genius,
you know, making sure everybody knew that Raw was taped, and then making sure that they knew that they're, you know, here's what's going to happen on Raw if you're watching, and that sort of made it more personal, I think. And Bischoff was the one who told Tony Schiavone through his headset to say the line about Mick Foley winning the title. So,
well, I think that's the reason why it's Monday Night Raw live now. I really believe that they really got pissed about that, you know? Such a great I don't know if I'm getting just older, but I can't get into the same wrestlers nowadays. Like, John Cena, he doesn't have the charisma that The Rock does. There's nobody that would match Hogan to me. And they're giving us Roman Reigns. Like, I try. They're giving us Roman Reigns and new. CM Punk I loved, and then he left.
Mm-hmm.
I love CM Punk. What do you guys think about that?
Well, Greg, you know who else doesn't have the charisma of The Rock? Everybody, because he's the number one actor in the world right now. You know, you're not going to find another one of him. Yeah.
Yeah, once-in-a-generation talent, not only in wrestling, but also in movies, as we've seen, in entertainment. It's tough because WWE is trying to serve a lot of masters right now that they didn't serve back in the Monday Night War era, back in the 90s. You know, they are attracting high-end sponsors. They are attracting lots of sponsors that are involved with children. They are big on, as Stephanie McMahon will tell you, marketing the company and doing outreaches and things like that to make the company look good. So it's very difficult to it's difficult to put the toothpaste back in the tube and go back to a different era when we had all these rebels running around, as entertaining as it was and as much as I enjoyed it and would prefer to see more of that on television.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to understand the climate that WWE is in, what they're doing. You know, as much as we sit here every week and we kind of
do you remember back in the day too, having to wait up to like 2 a.m. to see ECW? That was great.
I remember that.
I got ECW on the Empire Network, which no longer exists in New York. Empire Sports Network. Which showed a lot of local minor league New York sports teams. They played ECW like Saturday mornings at 10 or 11 o'clock. So that's where I got my fill of ECW. So luckily I didn't have to wait up that late for it.
Well, I remember having a VCR, so that helped a great deal.
I was in New York, because I never used to hang out as a kid. I used to sit home and watch wrestling. And the worst Saturdays used to be when the fall back happens, spring forward, because you have to turn an hour backwards. No, fall back. The fall back, because you have to turn an hour, and then you wait till 2 o'clock comes, and then it becomes 1 o'clock again. I used to get so pissed. I'm like, man, I've been waiting, man. Yeah. Blue World Order used to be hysterical. Yeah. Can I say my top three favorite wrestlers of all time?
All right. Well, we're about to go to break, but you can get that in.
Tommy Dreamer, DDP,
mm-hmm.
and Hulk Hogan.
There you go. Tommy Dreamer, DDP, and Hulk Hogan. And, Tommy Dreamer will get in the Hall of Fame someday, so you'll be able to see that. All right. Thanks a lot, Jesse. It's good talking to you. We'll be back here next Sunday. No problem.
Thank you, Dave.
Jesse drops off. That opens up a line for you, 515-605-9345. But before you do that, we're going to take a timeout. We'll be back with more of Wrestling Night in America. Don't go anywhere.
When you want to know when the next episode of the PW Torch Livecast is scheduled or catch up on a show you missed, check out our homepage, pwtorchlivecast.com. You can stream the latest shows right from that page, or download the show, or get a link to subscribe on a podcast app. That's PWTorchLivecast.com for the latest shows, and also catch up on shows you missed at PWTorchLivecast.com.
And Wrestling Night in America returns here on PWTorchLivecast.com. Torch columnist Pat McNeil, Torch columnist Greg Parks, 515-605-9345. Well, we've heard from Ethan Carter III, and we've heard from Jesse from Nassau County, but we haven't heard from you, so check in with us. We do have an email. Larry writes in to ask a question for you guys. When a wrestler goes down to a three count, are we to assume that the wrestler was knocked out cold or the wrestler simply just had enough? Thanks, guys. I'm not 100% sure I understand the basis of that question. I think we're supposed to assume that the wrestler is knocked out, unable to respond, unable to kick out for whatever reason. Does that seem fair?
We're getting all kinds of questions tonight. I mean, this is a very interesting show tonight. Knocked out.
Yeah.
I don't think knocked out cold. I mean, he's not knocked on. We're not supposed to assume he's unconscious because, you know, sometimes you'll see them flailing, but you've got to remember they've also got a 250 some pound man pinning them, sometimes hooking the legs for leverage. So that certainly goes into it as well. But, you know, knocked off balance enough to stay down and have their shoulders pinned for a three count. Not knocked out cold totally, but in a bad enough way.
Okay. What we promised to do before, let's do that. Let's go ahead and start talking about this NXT Brooklyn show. And, we talked about people who might be heading down. My question is, who's the next to come up out of this? Because, I know there's been talk that SmackDown would love to have Bobby Roode. I know Road Dogg gave an interview and he was asked who he'd like to, who he'd most like to have from NXT, and he didn't even hesitate before answering Asuka, which makes me feel like he's a good person to be in that spot if he feels that way. But I've got a feel that right now I don't, the only team I could think of is if they don't win the titles at TakeOver, I think maybe Sanity could be brought up.
Yeah, Sanity was a team that I had suggested several weeks ago, I think after the Battleground pay-per-view, as being a possibility of the ones that took out Breezango. It would make sense. It would be an impactful way to debut them. It would make sense in the context of their characters to be doing this. So I think with that introduction, it would be pretty strong. I'm not sold on the Sanity gimmick. I think it had a lot of promise at first, but I don't think that promise has necessarily paid off very well. But once they get to the main roster, it'll sort of be like a clean slate, so they'll have a chance there to reconnect. Bobby Roode, I think I like the Bobby Roode idea. I think there's still a lot that he can do in NXT. Not that he needs it,
right,
but I think he can be a long-term champion in NXT and take on the challenges of Drew McIntyre, take on the challenges of Roderick Strong, take on the challenge of Johnny Gargano. With Ciampa out and Gargano not, kind of directionless at this point, I think he's a guy who could present a real fun challenge to Bobby Roode. So he still has a lot of other guys on the NXT roster who I'd like to see him against. I think he would work on SmackDown because I don't think there's a guy like him on SmackDown. This Bobby Roode gimmick that we're seeing is not a new gimmick in the pantheon of professional wrestling, but I think right now it would be a fit on SmackDown because it is so different from a lot of the gimmicks we see there.
Yeah. It didn't take much for the authors of Pain to start becoming baby faces. And I think, obviously they're destined to go up at some point or another. I just think, with the champions leaving NXT, they have to lose the title match, and then they have to lose some sort of a rematch. So you're looking at least a month, I would say, at the earliest, before we'd see either of them.
And to me, they're still raw. I think some learning that could go on from them. And this is just, based on what I've seen on NXT TV, there's some learning that can still go on there. The other question is, what if Paul Ellering? I don't see Ellering as a guy who comes up with them onto the main roster. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know that that's something at this point in his career that he's interested in as far as all that traveling that it would require. So do you bring up the Authors of Pain by themselves? Do you find someone else to manage them and to sort of be their mouthpiece because they've done very little, if any, talking in NXT? So, you know, that's another right. aspect of their characters that we got to look at when we talk about bringing them up to the main roster.
Hey, that gives me an idea. We can tie all this together. You know who the Authors of Pain's manager should be?
Not Enzo.
Enzo Amore. Enzo Amore, yeah.
That would be, you know.
These guys are 7 feet wide, and you can't teach that. Yeah.
I can just see them standing and snarling in the background as he's doing his, like, coked-up type of promo
yeah.
and just, like, being off the wall, and they're just standing there staring.
I can see it, man. I mean, they need somebody to talk for them, and Enzo needs to be, you know, Enzo can talk. And, I mean, unless they're really planning to retool him as a serious wrestler, which I don't know how well they could pull that off at this point.
And on how they put Cass over him, I don't think they really have any interest. I know they value Cass a lot more than Enzo, but if they had any major plans for Enzo, I think he would have gone and given a little more fight to Cass in their matches.
I think if they had plans for Enzo, they would have turned him with Cass and kept him as Cass's, basically the annoying. He would have been the annoying guy. He would have been doing the same thing he's been doing.
But
not
just
that
have,
much of a change.
Just have Cass
All right.
as a singles guy then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, he'd tag with him occasionally, but he'd mostly be
Cass. More of a hanger-on at that point than a tag team partner.
Right. Exactly. I mean, every so often he'd help out, but yeah, guy who interferes and talks a big game. And they're missing that. They don't have a lot of managers. You know, they got rid of a lot of managers. They mostly replaced the managers with McMahons. So, but yeah, I think some of that would be good. All right, other matches on the show. You've got Andrade, Cien Almas, and Johnny Gargano. And the question is whether Andrade's really gone as far as he can go in NXT, because they were, I mean, they'll tell you otherwise. They were really down on him at one point, and it looks like he's sort of worked his way back up there.
Yeah, that heel turn and pairing him with Thea Trinidad now, I think really has worked wonders for him. And, I don't know if he's future NXT champion, but I could certainly see him if there's a babyface, whether it's Drew McIntyre or someone else down the line, beats Bobby Roode for the NXT championship. I could see Andrade Almas being a worthy challenger if he's built up right to do that. That's not what they brought him in to be. They didn't bring him in just to be a challenger. I think they brought him in to be, another swing at their, Latin star that they've been after for so long. And, a real building block of NXT who could be a major factor on the main roster. I don't think he's there, but I think he's rehabbed himself enough to where he can be a viable challenger for the NXT title down the line.
Okay. The other name I guess I would think of is you have Aleister Black, and he's working Hideo Itami. If they're done with Hideo Itami on the, on NXT, they could find a spot for him on the main roster. I don't know if he fits as 205 Live material. He could be what I saw him down here when NXT, which is Nakamura's tag partner or even his arch rival.
I'm torn on Itami. I really want him to do well, and I really want him to be at the level that so many people thought he would be at by now. I just don't think he's there, and I don't think he's unless they invested a lot of money in him and want to get some bang for their buck and want to use him on the main roster before he decides he's had enough and wants to go back to Japan, then fine. But I don't see him having a lot of success on the main roster if they pull him up after NXT Brooklyn.
I think the fans that saw him in Noah want him to be Kenta, and he is not Kenta.
No.
I mean, that's been made very clear. Other than doing, he still does Kenta's finisher, though, so that's good.
And I think that's been a struggle for him. That transformation has been a real struggle, and we've seen that throughout the years. And the injuries, of course. I think, the combination of those two, no matter how mentally strong you are, I think can kind of wear on you. And I don't know if we've seen that from Itami. We've seen some, better matches lately with Bobby Roode and with some other guys. He had a great match with Oney Lorcan a few weeks ago, the broken nose, and he come back
yes,
and had a good match with him. So, you know, is this just kind of a tease, or is he really working his way back up to a spot where he could be really useful to not only NXT, but at some point the main roster?
Okay, well, good news, everybody. We're almost caught up on commercial breaks. So when we come back after this, we'll go over some of the wrestling news in the weekend. We're still taking your calls, 515-605-9345. Wrestling Night in America returns after this.
Thank you for being a PW Torch Livecast listener. As of mid-July 2017, the PW Torch Livecast lineup has undergone some changes. My shows have moved to a new feed, the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, available at Podcast One, or just search Wade Keller in your podcast app. But there's tons of great content every week, including Saturdays at 6 Eastern, the new Deep Dive with Rich Fan, covering a single topic in professional wrestling in depth. Join him live with phone calls at 6 Eastern every Saturday. Sunday nights at 8 Eastern, it is Wrestling Night in America with Pat McNeil and Greg Parks, where they focus on the supercards, the big events coming up in pro wrestling, or review the latest one. That's at 8 Eastern, or following a live pay-per-view, if there's a live pay-per-view on that Sunday. And then check out MMA Talk for pro wrestling fans every Monday night at 7 Eastern, hosted by Mike Hisko and other MMA Torch contributors. It's a chance for fans of both pro wrestling and MMA who share that in common to talk about the latest happenings in the world of mixed martial arts. Tuesdays, it's the best of PW Torch Livecast, a hand-picked episode from our history that gives you a chance to catch up on a show you might have missed back in our earlier years. And then the PW Torch Nostalgia Hour with Jim Valley is back. It used to be called Saturday Morning Wrestling. Now it's Wednesdays at 5 Eastern. He takes your live calls and interviews some of the big names from pro wrestling's past. And then Thursday nights, following GFW Impact, it's Mike McMahon and Andrew Sochak with a recap of the just-concluded Impact Wrestling show on Pop TV. So as soon as Impact goes off the air in the United States on Pop TV, join Mike and Andrew live right here at pwtorchlivecast.com. They'll be taking your calls. That's the new lineup of the PW Torch Livecast. Great diverse mix of shows with a great group of hosts. Keep listening and keep spreading the word, and give us a 5-star rating over at iTunes with some kind comments in the listener comment section about which shows you like and why. That's PW Torch Livecast, new lineup. Thanks for listening, everybody.
We're back with more Wrestling Night in America here on PWTorchLivecast.com. The number is 515-605-9345. Greg Parks and I handling the duties here for another 20 minutes or so. Greg, let's talk about some of the wrestling news that has happened this weekend. Starting first with the G1 results in from Hamamatsu. It is down to Tanahashi and Naito in the A block, and I believe we talked about that last week. That was coming. We knew that was coming.
Yeah, and Naito was my pick, I think, when we talked about it last week or a few weeks ago, Pat, and I'm sticking with it. Tanahashi still got the arm injury. He's been able to work around it to a tremendous degree through this G1 to be up there at the top of the A block, but I'm going to say that Naito outlasts him. The stress of the tournament just is too much for Tanahashi's arm.
Yeah, you know, I'll stick with Tanahashi for one more match. We also had something interesting last night at the WWE SmackDown Live event in Montreal, where let's see, it was Jinder Mahal against Sami Zayn. Sami gets attacked and, you know, Sami loses. He gets attacked and beaten up by the Bollywood Boys and Jinder Mahal. Pat Patterson comes out to make the save. He gets beat up, and then Kevin Owens comes out and rescues Sami Zayn. I mean, I know it's just Montreal, and they didn't really have a whole lot of hugs and love afterwards, but is it possible that they're testing out the idea of Kevin Owens going babyface?
You know, I saw the full clip of this. I think it was on Pro Wrestling Sheet earlier today, and I think they've teased Zayn and Owens teaming up before in Montreal. I don't think this is the first time. I think a Kevin Owens babyface run, when he came out and he did the babyface comeback and cleared the ring of the Singh brothers, that was magic, you know? And Kevin Owens, I
yeah.
think, as good as he is as a heel, and he's one of the best WWE has right now, I think when the time comes to turn him babyface, and I don't think they should be talking about that for another year or two, really. unless injuries hit and they just need somebody. But when that time does come, he is going to be an awesome babyface. There's no doubt in my mind that he will succeed as a babyface when that time comes. And again, I don't think it should be anytime soon, but it's going to be really cool when it does come.
All right, Cody Rhodes on tour continues. Cody at Wrestle Circus last night in Austin, Texas, defeating Scorpio Sky in the main event. Let's see, and you know, basically acting like and he and the Bullet Club, you know, they're heels and they kind of act like baby faces. And Cody's out there donating money to the Austin Animal Shelter. Also on the show, one of those things you know that I love on the indies, which is men wrestling women. Yeah, Adam Cole and Britt Baker won the tag titles over the Rocky Romero and Trent Beretta. Geez, you know, I mean, I'm sorry that bothers me so much, but it does. I know that Adam and Britt are dating, and I'm sure they're a lovely couple. But do we need that?
Probably not. But, you know, on the independents, I guess I give a little more leeway on the indies than if that was to be done in WWE or if that was to be done in GFW or any other major company, I guess. When it's done on the indies and, you know, you see some of the quote-unquote creativity, I guess, for lack of a better term, that you see on the independent shows these days, Certainly, I don't think it's necessarily, I don't want to go down this rabbit hole, but, you know, we've seen, if you saw this weekend, I think it was Joey Ryan and Mick Foley's interaction, and I'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
If I had to choose one or the other, Adam Cole and Britt Baker winning the tag titles all of a sudden doesn't seem so ridiculous, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess so. Let's see. AAW, another one of our favorite indies out of the Chicagoland area. A couple of interesting matchups. First of all, how do you like this for an indie match? Keith Lee defeating Bob Holly. Hardcore Holly worked AAW last night.
Wow.
That's awesome.
That's
good.
Yeah, match. Chalk that up to a match I didn't think I'd see in 2017.
Yeah, it is. But they did the six-man main event. It was Ray Phoenix, A.R. Fox, and Juventud Guerrera defeating Sammy Callahan and Irish Airborne to set up for the 31st of August title versus mask, Sammy Callahan versus Ray Phoenix. Now, there you go. That's something interesting, I think.
Absolutely. You know, Sammy Callahan, he didn't really have much success in NXT. I don't think they really knew what to do with him, but he's gotten a second life or a third life, I guess, on the independent scene, right back to kind of where he was before he left for NXT. So that's a good sign, and I don't think the doors are closed on ever using him again from WWE or NXT's point of view. But, you know, we've seen him on Lucha Underground as well. So he continues to have a lot of success on the indies, and that's good to see.
So Combat Zone last night. Yeah, Matt Tremont, you know, the bulldozer of Combat Zone, spent 2 weeks in the hospital, but then got out of the hospital so that he could make it to wrestle Onita in a death match. That's, I don't know, that seems like the opposite of what you go to a hospital. Yeah.
Yeah, I would have
stayed
seems
like
in the
he
hospital
did it
if I were him. Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Anyway. Yes, and the other report from that match is... oh boy, Leo Rush, you know, who's on his way to WWE, beats Joey Janela in a match where Janela power bombs Rush off a ladder through the table, and Rush no sold it. We'll have to have a talk with Leo.
Yeah, that's the move that Sean Radican called on Twitter today. I think I think he called it the stupidest thing he'd ever seen in wrestling. And if you know how much wrestling and indie wrestling that Sean has watched, that covers a lot of ground.
Sure.
Yeah.
So Leo Rush is now Road Warrior Hawk. This is a new development for me.
Basically, although I don't know if Hawk ever would have no sold it through a table. That's a whole other strategy.
I don't think Hawk's letting himself get powerbombed off a ladder, so. Yeah, you're right. That's not happening. Okay. And of course, let's see. Yeah, so all that happened. Jeez. And, of course, the announcement that Over the Top, or OTT, is doing their big show in December. And, yes, the Bullet Club's coming to town at National Stadium in Dublin, and that apparently got a huge pop. So we've got that, and we've got Progress in New York City next weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, you know, as busy of a weekend as it seemed to be for independent wrestling this weekend, we could be sitting here next week and talking about some other major happenings, which is always fun.
Yes, and if you're keeping score here, Halifax, Nova Scotia on the Raw Tour, it was Roman Reigns defeating Strowman and Samoa Joe in a triple threat, so they just did that match from Raw again, I guess. Okay. That's fine. It's just a shame to burn out that match, to burn out this whole 3/4-way feud when you feel like there's farther that they could go with this.
Well, sure, and we've seen Reigns and Strowman in almost every incarnation we can see at this point, except for a Last Man Standing match, which we get on Monday night. So they've certainly run that into the ground, and I guess they've gone past the point where they think that, I guess, anyone will care. So it's like, well, we've already run it into the ground, so let's run it into the ground even more, because I guess if you do another match, it's not going to be that big of a deal. I don't really know. It's a nice hook for Raw, you know, and that's what they're looking for. They're looking for, especially in the last few weeks, building up matches on Raw and announcing them ahead of time, building up matches for SmackDown, announcing them ahead of time, something we've been clamoring for years for WWE to do and not do so much hot-shotting. You know, I wish they didn't feel the need to give away not necessarily even marquee matches like this, but to kind of water down the SummerSlam main event in such a way by having these guys constantly against each other on TV each week. And who knows, maybe this will be the last week. Maybe, you know, Reigns and Strowman won't touch again until SummerSlam after Monday night. I don't know. But given WWE's history, I would seriously doubt that.
Yeah. I think there's also the feeling probably within WWE that they're running out of time because, you know, Monday Night Football is going to be back soon. In 2 weeks, we get the first nationally televised preseason game. In 4 weeks, we get the big college football Labor Day game. And then it just all, you know, it all sort of piles on from there. So that's something that WWE, I know that they're paying attention to, and maybe they want to get as much of this out as possible. Although you think they'd be saving stuff. I don't know.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. Like, okay, if you're getting it all out of the way now, what are you going to have to offer the fans, especially if Lesnar retains at SummerSlam, which isn't a guarantee. If he retains at SummerSlam and is off TV until, say, the build to Survivor Series, you don't have the hook of having the Universal Champion there. You don't have the hook of building a Universal Championship match for the next pay-per-view that the Raw brand does in between the end of August and November. So, you know, what do you do in that regard? I hope that WWE has gotten comfortable enough in, as I said earlier, announcing these matches ahead of time that they start doing that more when football season starts, because I think that's a way to guarantee at least viewers at some point during your show. You know, if I'm a Raw viewer, but also an ardent football fan who loves to watch Monday Night Football, am I going to tune in to Raw not knowing what's going on, or am I going to tune in if I know there's going to be, say, Roman Reigns versus Braun Strowman in a Last Man Standing match, or if I know that there's going to be a big match on the show? You know, I'm going to tune in for that big match because I know it's going to happen. So, you know, I hope that that's a tactic WWE uses with more frequency once football season rolls around.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. All right, final break. We'll come back. We're still taking your calls, 515-605-9345. We'll talk about what we can expect this coming week. Don't go anywhere. This is the PW Torch Livecast, and this is Wrestling Night in America.
You love pro wrestling podcasts, but you might not have time to listen to all of them. We'll help you decide which ones to listen to and keep you up to date on the ones you're missing at pwpodcasts.com. That website features written recaps of all of the top pro wrestling related podcasts, including Steve Austin, Bruce Pritchard, Edge and Christian, and so on. Check it out. It's pwpodcast.com, your home for written recaps of all pro wrestling personality-hosted podcasts.
All right, it's Wrestling Night in America here on PW Torch Livecast, the number 515-605-9345. Let's take a look at the week ahead here. I'm Pat McNeil. He's Greg Parks. So, Greg, we have a big last man standing match on Raw. However, we're also getting word as to, the SummerSlam show is starting to come together, and as you know, it's going to be 6 hours. It's going to be the 2-hour kickoff show and the 4-hour main show. And to the surprise of no one, it was announced this weekend that, yes, indeed, it will be the Usos versus the New Day at SummerSlam.
Yeah, we've already got 8 matches announced or, all but announced for the main SummerSlam card, which is a good sign. 2 weeks out, I think, from SummerSlam right now. So WWE obviously paying a lot of attention to SummerSlam. They want to make it the number 2 WWE pay-per-view weekend of the year behind WrestleMania. And, looking at the card, you got the four-way for the WWE Universal Championship. You've got, Jinder Mahal versus Shinsuke Nakamura, who beat John Cena last Tuesday in what I thought was an upset for the WWE Championship. Mm-hmm. Those are the top 2 matches. You've got Styles versus Kevin Owens again. Randy Orton versus Rusev came together on SmackDown this past week. And you've got Alexa Bliss versus Bayley and Naomi versus Natalya, which I think both have a chance to be pretty good as well.
Yeah, it's not just AJ Styles versus Kevin Owens. Shane McMahon is your guest referee.
How could I forget the most important part of that match, Pat? My bad.
That's okay. We'll let it slide this time. There's a full New York visitor's guide on the WWE website, for people who want to take their New York travel tips from WWE, I guess. This is a big deal. You've got that going on. You've got NXT TakeOver Brooklyn. I'm pretty sure that House of Glory has a big show that weekend. It's going to be, it's not WrestleMania weekend, but it's going to be a little bit crazy.
Yeah, we like crazy. And that's why we're in this business, being able to cover all those shows and talk about all that stuff. And, it keeps us going. So, 2 weeks away, looking forward to it right now.
And 1 week away, in fact, 6 days away, the doubleheader in Corona, New York next weekend. First Evolve and then Progress, Evolve 91 and Progress Wrestling. Evolve, of course, doing their own four-way. It's Matt Riddle, Keith Lee, Tracy Williams, and Walter from Progress Wrestling. That'll be something. I don't know if they have the Progress lineup anywhere, but I'll look for it. I know that WWN often seems like an afterthought, but they do have that line into WWE, and usually you're seeing guys who are, and you're always going to see, it seems like you're only a couple of months away from seeing somebody get pulled from Evolve up to WWE or down to developmental.
Yeah, there's a good and bad with that. You can look at it from the aspect of, well, geez, I really enjoy this guy, but in 6 months, he's going to be in NXT at a different name with a different character and doing God knows what. The other way you could look at it is, say, hey, all of these guys who are wrestling on the show, WWE and NXT are paying a very close attention to it. So, if they do well enough and you can kind of do your own amateur scouting of those shows while you watch them and say, yeah, this seems like a guy WWE would be interested in and things like that. So there's a couple different ways you can look at that.
That's true. Leo Rush will not be there next Saturday because he will be in Baltimore doing his final independent show in Joppa, Maryland, against an opponent of his choosing. I'm reasonably sure that when Leo heads WWE, he's not going to be allowed to no-sell a powerbomb off a ladder.
And part of me wonders if this is like if it's because it's his independent swan song. Like, if he wasn't going to WWE, would he have still done that? I don't think he would have.
I think
it's just kind of like this is his swan song, and he's gonna have fun going out in style and going out the way he wants to, and getting in all the spots he wants to get in before he goes to NXT.
Yeah, that. Let's hope it's something like that. All right, let me see the. Geez, do they actually have? I'm sorry. Okay, House of Glory. Crap. All right, that's. I don't know. Yeah, I'm trying to find out what the card is, and silly, yeah, silly me. I'm looking on a promotions website to see what their matches are for their big show. What was I thinking, Greg?
Hard to believe that's still an issue in 2017.
You would think so. Well, yeah. Okay. Let's see. Yeah, I don't know. I think Silver
Ring of Honor. I think it's
that helps
like that too.
Yeah, they. Well, not so much though. I mean, usually I can at least go on their website and see. And I have some idea what matches are going to take place. Even for a TV taping, they put their top few matches on top. Oh, all right. Here we go. SummerSlam card. Card talent and more info soon to be available. Bret Hart will be a special guest there. How about that? Does that count?
That's a pretty big hook. Well, he is,
yeah, it is.
Partial credit.
Yeah, Friday night, 8. Yeah, Queens, New York, Friday the 18th. Bret Hart will be there. Matt Riddle, who is the WWN champion, will be there. So, I don't think they'll be wrestling each other. Willing to go out on a limb there. That would be awkward. Okay. Let's see. But, we've got SummerSlam being put together. We're going to get John Cena and Baron Corbin, right? I'm expecting that.
That appeared to be the direction. I don't know what else they would do, especially when they put the post-match stuff, which they don't usually do, that bled over into 205 Live on the WWE Network after SmackDown. So the fact that they felt it was important enough to put on 205 Live and push the cruisers back a little bit tells me it's something that we should be paying attention to. And you also have to look at Cena and Corbin being two of the bigger names on the SmackDown roster that haven't been put together yet. Before SmackDown this past week, we would have had Randy Orton in that same boat, but it looks like he's going to be having a program with Rusev, which probably disappoints a lot of people who are looking for Rusev to do something a little more after getting done with John Cena at Battleground, but Orton it is. So Cena, Corbin, you know, that's going to be interesting, and I think it's going to be a test of Corbin at that point. And Cena is who he is. He's Cena's Cena. And we'll see what kind of match he can get out of Baron Corbin at this point. And I think Cena, when he works with the younger guys like that, I think being in the ring with him and giving reports to management, whether it's Vince McMahon, whether it's the agents or the writers or whatever, about how a guy does, I think that carries a lot of weight and carries a lot of water in WWE. So, you know, how Cena feels in a match with Corbin might go a long way to telling us where Corbin is headed for the next few months.
All right. And Progress Wrestling next Saturday in Queens. They do have the main event of their show on their website. Are you ready for this?
Ready.
For the WWE UK title, Pete Dunne defending against Jack Gallagher. Hello. Yeah. I like it.
That's a nice matchup.
Yeah. Also, Donovan Dijak against Timothy Thatcher. Let's see. Mark Andrews, Mark Haskins, and some other guy in a three-way. And, it looks like that looks like a lot of fun. I don't know if it's going to be on Flow Slam. I can't believe it would be, but just a whole lot to look forward to in the next couple of weeks. And of course, these 6 hours of SummerSlam followed by our show, which should be, I guess, sometime around midnight Eastern after they wrap up SummerSlam in 2 weeks.
Oh, dear God. Yes, we will be here. And of course, if anyone attends any of these big weekend shows, whether it's WWE, whether it's GFW, whether it's any of the independent shows that we've talked about or haven't talked about on this show, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday afternoon matinee, call in and give us a report here on the on Wrestling Night in America, 8 o'clock Eastern when there's not a pay-per-view, right after a WWE pay-per-view. We're here when there is one. But, yeah, if you attended the show live, we'd love to talk to you about it.
And 2 weeks in a row, we've had a guest on the show. We're actually 3 weeks in a row, isn't it? No, 2 weeks, 3 out of 4
yep.
weeks we've had a guest on the show. We're going to go for 4 out of 5
yep.
next week. I don't know who it's going to be, but it's going to be something. All right. Well, Greg, thank you very much as always.
Yeah, thank you,
Pat. We can't do this without you, Greg. It's, It's great to have you on. Yeah, next Sunday we're looking for live reports from Miami, where WWE is going to be for their SmackDown event, and from Worcester, Mass., where hopefully one of you will be calling in from to check out John Cena with the Raw Tour. All right, so we will do this again next week. Thank you, all of you, and we hope you join us again this time next Sunday night. But before that, we have our own announcer guy to tell you about the wonders of VIP membership here at PWTorch.com. Take it away.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, I invite you to get even more of what the Torch offers by becoming a PW Torch VIP member. Not only do you get ad-free access to our website, the mobile site, and the desktop site, and access to about 30 years of our archives, including over 1,500 back issues and thousands upon thousands of hours of our audio shows going back to 2004, plus tons of retro radio shows from the 1990s. But you also get over 15 VIP exclusive podcasts per week, in addition to ad-free editions of these PW Torch livecasts throughout the week. So we take the ads out of the PW Torch livecast for VIP members and then give you over 15 other podcasts per week, including what started it all, the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show. I host that with Bruce every weekend, and we spend a couple hours talking about the biggest stories of professional wrestling and wrestling history. It's one of the longest-running weekly pro wrestling podcasts on any subject, and it's one of the main reasons people go VIP and stay VIP. Another is The Fix with Todd Martin. I host that every midweek with Todd, and we get Todd's expertise and opinions every midweek on current events in professional wrestling, not just WWE, but all promotions worldwide, including New Japan. Plus, we end every show with some expert MMA talk from the LA Times columnist and SureDog contributor, Todd Martin. And there's so much more. The Every Single Day Weight Cutter Hotline with news updates every single day, Monday through Friday. And every Saturday and Sunday, I do the SE Editor format of the Weight Cutter Hotline, where I answer VIP member questions in depth. And there's so much more. There's the Wayback Playback with Pat McNeil and Jim Valley, Wrestling Audio Community with Sean Radican, the WWE Future Past Show with scouting reports on prospects and a look back at the indie career of current stars, the PW Torch East Coast Cast Extended VIP Edition, the retro radio shows. Every Thursday, a new retro radio show from the 90s drops, from the early 90s or the Attitude Era. And last but not least, my in-depth Raw and SmackDown reports. You can get a full chronological rundown of every episode of Raw and SmackDown with my analysis of the show in depth every Monday night and Tuesday night. So check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. We give you a lot here at the livecast, but there is so much more. The vast majority of our work is for our VIP members, and you can become one today. Go check out details on a subscription at pwtorch.com/govip.